Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, our reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth which his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corruptible talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
May God bless the reading of his holy word as we delve into it. God, we pray, coming with expectant hearts to hear from you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Can you say hi to three people around you before you take a seat? Introduce yourself. So good to have you all here. So good to have you, those of you who are watching online and tuning in. So we are in this series, everybody, called The Mystery of Us. The mystery of us. And we're going through the book of Ephesians. Now, for those of you who are relatively new to the Bible, Ephesians is a book written by the Apostle Paul. An apostle is somebody who has been appointed as a leader to raise up and send out other leaders. This is what the definition of an apostle is. Apostles at that time were also disciples of Christ. So disciples are those who follow Jesus and follow a teacher, but they're also ones who raise up leaders and send them out. And so he is writing from prison in Rome to the church at Ephesus. And as I mentioned before, the church is in a city called Ephesus. And Ephesus is on the west coast of modern-day Turkey. And so being on a coast, it's obviously a place of commerce because there's a harbor there where boats can come in and sell their wares and all of that. But also it's a place where a lot of different countries can come in, different ethnicities would come in and live there or do trade there. So a lot of different ideas from different nations would come into the city of Ephesus. And also it was a place of worship because if you know anything about the seven wonders of the world, the ancient seven wonders of the world, one of them is actually in Ephesus. And you can go there today and see the ruins of it. It's a place called the Temple of Diana, which was a female goddess. She was the goddess of many things, fertility, farmland, and basically harvest and that sort of thing. So they would come and worship at this temple in order that they'd see prosperity in their land. So different beliefs, different cultures, a lot of money coming into Ephesus. And so with that in mind, you can see a lot of correlation between Ephesus and a city like Brisbane, where we have over 200 different ethnicities and cultures, people groups here in the city of Logan, right? Very ethnically diverse place. a lot of commerce. How many of you are seeing like the property market is rising? I mean, this is the way it was back in Ephesus during that time. And so it's thriving. And so Paul is writing from prison to this place that's thriving. Now, what we're going to go through today is from Ephesians chapter 4. So we're in the fourth chapter. And the idea behind why Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus is that they would become like a city within a city. What do I mean by that? Well, as you heard me talk about 2 weeks ago, cities are made up of different houses, different villages, and so forth. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus exhorts people who follow him to say, you are the light of the world, and you shouldn't hide your light under a bowl or a bush. How many of you have ever sung that song back in the day if you grew up in church? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Any of you used to sing that song? This little light of... I was that kid at the back. I'm gonna let it shine. Doing the fat boy's beatbox. My mom would say, you wait till you get home. All right, that was me. I'm trying to make my light shine. Yeah, something else gonna shine on your bottom if you keep that up, right? No, child abuse didn't happen. No. Anyway, this little light of mine, like that was the song that we used to sing about shining bright for the glory of God. And this is evidently what should happen, right? If I'm shining my light and you're shining your light, if my sister Mara's shining her light and Terata's shining his light and Mike and Mommy are shining their light, we become a city because there's many of us shining our light for him. And that's what we want to be as a church, right? If everybody is shining their light, we become a city within the city of Logan. And we become a city set on a hill because a city set on a hill is visible no matter where people are within that city. I just came back from Auckland about 3 weeks ago. And one of the things you'll always notice about Auckland is that you've got this big syringe-looking thing right in the middle of the city. And it's unfortunate that that's the most visible thing that you see in the city. It's called the Sky Tower. And it's always lit up. And I was always thinking, every time I see it, I'm like, that should be the Christians. We should be the ones shining. But it's funny that the thing that is shining the most in the city of Auckland is a place where people come for money and to gamble, you know. And, you know, we laugh as Brisbaneites. We go, yeah, those Aucklanders, gosh. But how many of you know we're building a big casino in our city too? But we need to be the city within the city. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You need to be a part of the city within the city of Logan. Right? No matter how old or young you are. I shouldn't say old. How experienced or how young you are. Amen. Right? And so the reason why we can shine, it's not because of our own effort. But Jesus has saved us. Check this out. Ephesians 2. This is a passage that we went through a couple of weeks ago. For by grace, everybody read it with me. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the what? The gift of God. Like you don't work towards getting a gift. If you want to get in trouble with your wives, husbands, you know, just wait for her to give you a gift and say, yeah, thank you, I deserve it. Oh, you'll be sleeping on the couch, right? Because it's not a gift at that point. You earned it. Like to be a gift, it means you didn't do anything to earn this thing. It's just been given, freely given to you. And this is what God has done for us. It's by grace through faith that you have been saved. And this is not your own works so that no one can boast. See, because if you think that you are a Christian by your own efforts, then you can boast about it. Well, I go to every nation Logan because I'm so righteous. Don't you understand that, you know, people tithe and they give 10%, but I give 100% because I'm so righteous. Well, you've basically received your reward by advertising that to everybody. It's funny, hey, Proverbs says, let another man's lips praise you and not your own. In other words, if you have to tell somebody how great you are, you're not that great. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. The NLT version says, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, I want to emphasize, you are a masterpiece. Oh, I'm going to help you to make friends today. Just turn to somebody and tell them, you are God's masterpiece. And if they're your spouse, men, just drop your voice a couple of octaves and drop it down here like, you are his masterpiece, baby. Now drop it like it's hot, right? We are his masterpiece. And it's not just you, but collectively together, we are his masterpiece as we walk together. Now, we're going to begin this passage that Henry read, and I wanted to start it here in verse 17. I just given you the introduction so that, again, we can just come into this part of Ephesians just to understand. Remember, the first three chapters, we talked about being in Christ. Now we're in chapter 4. Henry went through chapter 5. Wasn't that a great message from Pastor Henry last week? Give him a hand, everybody, regarding how we relate to one another and how God has told us how to relate to one another. I think that's really important. So in verse 17 of chapter 4, going back one chapter, we read this. Now this I say and testify, again, Paul's saying this, I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now when he's talking about Gentiles here, does everybody here understand what a Gentile is? A Gentile is anybody who's not Jewish. Now, hear me out, okay? Because many of us would say, well, we're Gentiles. And now Paul is saying, don't walk like a Gentile. What he's speaking about here is he's prefaced this. And this is, again, the danger of when we read this part of the Bible and don't read the parts that come before it. Because if we recognize the parts that come before it, we recognize that we're all now his children, right? By the grace of God, which is why I read Ephesians 2 before I now read Ephesians 4. Because now we are all his children. We are all his children. Like before Jesus, it was only the Jewish people that were considered his people. But through Christ now, in Galatians says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free, for we are all one in the body of Christ. We are all Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So that means that we're all now Jews, quote unquote. Not ethnically Jews, but we are all chosen people of God. So anyone who's a Gentile in this verse is actually somebody who does not live in accordance with the way that God wants us to live as his children. How many of you know in this room that God has an amazing destiny and purpose for your life, right? There's about three and a half people that are excited about that. How many of you know that God has a destiny and a purpose for your life? All right, that's better. I'm just checking your pulse, right? Now you need to understand this. Okay, that destiny and that purpose that God has for your life, number one, is that it's not just your destiny. Just because it's on your fridge magnet doesn't mean that it's just your destiny. It's your destiny in the context of everybody's destiny because we're all called to walk together. That's not just High School Musical, that's the gospel. We're all in this together. Wildcat sing along, whatever, however it goes, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Like there is no destiny without us walking together. But too many of us think that we're Beyonce and everybody else is the backup singers of Destiny's Child, because I'm Destiny's Child. You know, and everybody else is like that girl that comes out the back, with all the darkness and shyness. Like the one that doesn't get to sing many parts. And you think that like the destiny, I am Destiny's Child. I am the Beyonce. No, you're not. Jesus is the one who is the lead. And we all get to be a part of the body of Christ. There is no destiny without everybody who's around you. But Pastor Nelly, I find it hard, like I talked about 2 weeks ago, I find it hard to love other Christians. Like, I it's easy to love lost people. It's the Christians, man. Well, guess what? You're one of them. And those Christians, those followers of Christ have been put in your life to help refine you so that you look a lot more like Christ when you walk in humility. Because guess what? You ain't Beyonce. Especially the brothers. I'm just checking, all right? Now, as I go into this, because notice that he says here, in the futility of their minds, or in the foolishness of their minds. This is what he's saying. So how many of you want foolish minds? I'm glad no one put their hands up. I'm just checking we're in the right church, all right? So what I'm going to give you here is a list from Paul that describes what a foolish mind looks like. Turn to somebody, encourage them. Don't be a fool. Now, I want you to pull out your phone, turn off Candy Crush, turn off TikTok, and just pull out your phone and take notes, because we're going to do a fool's checklist up in here, all right? And this is from Paul, and we're going to make sure that we're not on that checklist, or we get rid of things that are on that checklist. Now, listen to me. Fight the temptation to go, oh, yeah, that's right, Pastor Nelly. That's my friend that you're talking about now, all right? No, no, no. Let this word wash over your soul. Because guess what? I had to let it wash over my soul before I deliver it to you today. And guess what? God brought up some things in my life. I'm like, oh, that hurts. He says, let it hurt. Let it hurt, because it should hurt, so that when you preach it, you can preach it from a place of humility. Because guess what? Even though I'm a pastor, God's working on me too. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, don't be a fool. Okay, you're going to be a fool if you don't take notes, all right? Because you'll be like, in one ear and out the other. You'll be like, oh, Uncle Nelly, please just get it over and done with. I just want to leave. Look, don't leave here a fool. Take notes, because it's going to help you in life, all right? Here we go, verse 18. You ready? The first thing on that list, they are darkened in their understanding. Everybody say, darkened in their understanding. If any of you have been to like the theater where actors are in a back dressing, where there's a dressing room at the back, if you go to a place like this place doesn't have a green room, but like some places with stages, they have a dressing room at the back where, you know, like the actors come out and they have to put their makeup on. And so before they come out, they have these mirrors. Any of you seen these mirrors with the lights around the mirrors? And when the lights are on, it's like super bright. So you can see every single pimple, every single, like you recognize that your creases have creases. You know, you got more headlines than the news. Like you got stuff on your face. Like how many of you know, like you look like a supermodel or you look like a bodybuilder, Mr. Olympia, when the lights are off. But when the lights are on, right? Because you see the reality. You'd rather have a darkened mind so you can't see the reality of your situation. You all with me? And this is the thing about the Bible. A lot of times people make the excuse, oh, I don't like reading the Bible. Sometimes it's because we don't like to read. I understand that. But we live in a day and age where you don't have to read it anymore. You can just listen to it on your phone now. So then what becomes the excuse and the reason why we don't want to read it? Is we are afraid. Can I tell you the secret why we're afraid to read the Bible? Is we're afraid to read the Bible because it might start reading us. Because when the lights are turned on, we start to see our spiritual condition and we're like, because the lights are on. And so one of the things we like to do is just turn the lights back off. Nah, I look good now. Darkened understanding. Let's move on. Secondly, alienated from the life of God. So we know God's called us to live a certain way, but we separate ourselves from living that way. And even though in the back of your mind, any of you been there? I used to be like that. I remember back in the day, because I grew up as a pastor's son. I'm just going to be real with you. Is that all right? I remember back in the day, like I was a real hypocritical teenager, like that typical Simon pastor's son, you know, come and try and be an angel on Sunday morning when I was dancing with the devil on Saturday night, right? And I used to hate it. My mom will be here later this week, so she'll verify these stories. Because I used to, like, pretend, oh, mom, I'm going to go stay over at my cousin's house. You know, I'm going to stay over at his house because we've got a youth rally, and I'll stay over there. Well, we were going out clubbing that night, you know. So I was like, and I'll be back at church tomorrow. And then she was always like, see you later, Mom. And then she'll be like, yeah, son, go as a Christian. You know, and I'll be up in the club trying to dance with this girl. You know, your feet must be tired because you've been running through my mind all day long. There's all these terrible lines not working. None of them work. And every time I tried to do something, it was always in the back of my mind, go as a Christian. I used to ruin my sin. You know why? Because that was the word that was ruining my sin. And many of us, right? Like if we're real, it's like when we try to sin, but we get enough of the deposit of the word of God in our lives. And I thank God for my mom. And you should thank God for the people in your life that tell you the truth of the word of God, not in a religious way, but tell you that there's a better way to live. I pray that the word of God messes up your sin, like makes you miserable when you're trying to sin in a loving way. But that's what it means to alienate, right? Alienate from the life of God. Let's continue. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So there's ignorance. That's another clue for a foolish life. And hardness of heart. Your heart is so hard, the word of God can't penetrate. It's like sometimes, you know, when I was growing up and I was driving like really junky cars. And, you know, the car used to make funny noises. Any of you been there? Like you drive a bomb and then it starts making in the back, and then the faster you go, goes, drive on the M1. You drive slow. And so to get rid of, some of you are laughing because your car was like that on the way here. We'll pray for your car. But rather than hearing the noise, you know, to get rid of the noise, what do? You turn the stereo up, eh? So that you can't hear the noise. Oh, yeah, the noise is gone. Boom, can, boom, boom, can. You know, because the noise has been drowned out with loudness. And how many of us, right? How many of us would rather remain ignorant to the pain that we're dealing with so we turn the noise up of our lives so that we don't have to hear the noise? When you know that when the noise is turned all the way down, when the sound is turned all the way down, you can hear your soul screaming for attention. I'm not good. I need help. I need the help of Jesus. Or you're like, I used to be back in the day, right? When I'm driving bomb cars, and then the light would come on. Well, like it needs oil or something. And then I get my phone and just put it over the dashboard, over the part where the light is shining so I can't see it. Oh, yeah, it's gone now. So I'm all good. How many of us have received warnings by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, it's not good. Don't be a fool. I've got a better way for you to live. But if you keep living that way, I've got all these signals that I'm trying to give you. But if you keep driving like that, your car's going to explode. Your life is going to explode. Trust me, stop being ignorant and hard of heart. They become callous, meaning that you lose the nerve endings. When you become callous, whether it's from a burn or from friction, like if you get a blister, usually it's because there's been an overwarning. Your shoes are too small. I know they were on sale. And I know they were the last size left. But you can't fit your size 12 foot in a size 6. Because it was on sale in the children's bin, but you're like, but they're Nikes, Pastor Nelly. Well, you're going to end up with sandpaper feet. You take those shoes off, and your toes are doing the west side, you know? Toes are like, west side? Like Marston, like that. You take your shoes off. And the reason is because you're calloused. You're like, nah, I'm okay. And your feet are like rubbing. And before you know it, you've lost all sensitivity in your feet because you wouldn't listen to the warnings. These shoes are too small. And your little toes like, help me. But you wouldn't listen. And how many of us have had those warnings in the spirit, right? When it's not all good. That's a saying that we all say in this generation. Oh, it's all good, Pastor Nelly. No, it's not. It's not. And God's trying to help us with his words. Giving themselves up to sensuality. Look, the reason why many of us don't want the new life in Christ is because you like the old life. Because you haven't really observed that the new life is the way that God has designed for us to live in the fullness. He has so much life to give you. Giving themselves up to sensuality, greedy, which means self-centeredness, living in accordance with what you want. I want to go to a church where it's all about me. How much, you know, how I can get the most blessed and give the littlest. It's all self-centered, right? And so these are warnings that Paul is giving. This is what a foolish or a futile mind looks like. And so Paul shifts gears and he says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. That's not the way I've called you to live. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To what? To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put off the old self. You don't have the old self like a plan B in your back pocket, right? Oh, if this Jesus thing doesn't work out, I'll just pull out the old self. No, it means to put it out completely. Send it away. It's not good for you. If we really do trust God as our Lord, then we need to put it completely away. It's not an option. Don't tuck it in a shoebox in your house anymore. It's there to ruin you. You got to understand that the enemy has a plan for your life too, and it's to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and life in its fullness. Put off the old self. Many of you know our dear friends Laura and Jeremy, who got married just a little under a month ago. And I had the opportunity to perform that wedding. And, you know, the pandemic hasn't been kind to my waistline. I'll blame the pandemic. So my suits were a little, let's just say, cozy. So I had to get a new suit, right? But how bad would it be, right? So I got me a suit. Don't worry, Ray, I'm going to lose this weight. I'm working on it already. And so I got this new suit, put it on. But how ridiculous would it be if I still had my pajamas on underneath that suit? See, there's no point leaving my old self from 10 hours before the wedding in the new occasion of which I am there to perform a wedding. How many of you know, like, you dress for whatever the occasion is? And when you sleep, you used to dress with pajamas. But now that you're in a formal setting, you dress up in a suit. I mean, I'm glad, right? I'm glad I get to be a pastor in Australia because we're a little more casual with it. You know, for all of my Pacific Islanders that are here that grew up in traditional churches, I grew up in those churches too, and it was wear a suki and a pelawe, and like wear a suit every Sunday when you preach. Even though it's hot outside, you know, you are wearing this sauna, basically, while you preach. But you dress for the occasion, right? If you have a new life, you don't wear the old suit under the new suit. You take off the old pajamas because the pajamas were when you were sleeping. But you're not asleep anymore. You're awake. So you leave the pajamas in the laundry hamper and you're like, not going to wear them anymore. If you wear them again, please, we're going to do discipleship. You should wash your clothes after you wear them to sleep, all right? Things happen while you're asleep. All right, so you should wash them. But you put them aside and you put on the new. I would have lost friends if I showed up at that wedding with pajamas underneath my suit, smelling like I was still asleep. But so many of us in the spirit are still wearing stuff from when we were asleep. And you're wondering what that funny smell is. It's you. Because you're still wearing the old self. I want to encourage you, put off the old self. Well, Pastor Nelly, I'm young. I don't have an old self. Yes, you do. We all do. And God wants you to put it away, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. What Paul is saying here is the reason why you don't want to put off the pajamas of your old life is because you like your old life. And our desires are evoked by what we give our attention to. If we give our attention to the things of this world, guess what? We're going to desire the things of this world, and we fall into the trap that the enemy has for us, that this world is everything that you need. How many of you know it is not? I'm sure if you talk to many people in this room, they've tried finding it in relationships or at the bottle of the bottom of the next bottle, addictions, whatever it might be, materialism, greediness, and just trying to find it with the futile mind, you'll always be left wanting. But in Jesus Christ, you are fully satisfied in Him. So don't fall trapped to the old desires. But be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. Everybody say that. Put on the new self. Turn to somebody, encourage them. God wants to hook you up with some new clothes. The new self. Created after what? The likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. So, I've gone through the characteristics of the old self. Now what I'm going to do is show you the characteristics of the new self. Are you all ready for this? Because I think if you want to walk in this new self, then these are the things you need to look for in terms of what God is doing in your life. Here we go with this list. Before I go on that list, I wanted to just share with this picture with you. This is a picture of my dear friend, Joe DeMango, who is ex-radio DJ in the Philippines, but now pastors our church, our Every Nation Church in Canberra. And so he was walking down this main street and he saw this Korean evangelist. She's a retired evangelist. And so he went up to her and he was just admiring the passion that she had for Jesus, right? But then when he went up to her, he noticed her sign. And the sign said this: "Excuse me, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" And so what was beautiful about it is that he went up to her and said, "Hey, I love your passion, heard his story, but you might want to put an E in there because it might lead people to a different place. It sounds like a cafe, but like lead them to heaven, right?" And she received the feedback, which is good. Because again, we learned in Ephesians to speak the truth in love, right? And I often think about if I was to walk in this direction. Henry, can you come up here real quick? Like if I'm walking in a way that somehow deceives everybody to thinking that I'm a Christian just because I show up, I actually move out of alignment with the destiny God has for me. So Henry, come stand with me. See, if Henry is walking straight and I'm just like half a degree off, if you keep walking, it looks like we're close. But how many of you know the more and more we walk, the more and more we'll be separated in terms of having him walk in the fully the new self and me trying to hold on to the new self but still have some of the old self still in my plan B in the back pocket. And I start... The longer I walk in this way, the more I get frustrated, the more I start to think, oh, who does Henry think he is, you know, walking? No, because he's fully walking in the new self. And so I have a struggle, therefore, and I start comparing myself with him because now we're walking separately, and I'm only like half a degree off. The longer I walk in that direction, the further I move away from God's intention for me. Give it up for Henry, everybody. Thank you. So be careful because the tactic of the enemy is very subtle. He moves in subtlety. It's the difference between heaven and haven, right? So here we go. Here's the qualities of the new life. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So the first aspect of living this life that God has for you is you're able to speak the truth. Not speak the truth in a way that purposefully is spiteful, but speaking the truth to build somebody up. You can tell the maturity of somebody walking in Christ by the way that they give and receive feedback. Right? You ever been around somebody and then you try to give them advice? Hey, you got something in your teeth. And then they turn to you, well, at least I got teeth. I'm like, no, I'm trying to help you. You got a garden in your mouth. You might want to, at least I got teeth. Teeth, T-E-E-F. Or somebody gives you a mint. Hey, I just wanted to help you out. Your Your breath smells, you know. It smells like gym lockers. You might need some help. You know, I'm not advertising it. Hey, everybody, his breath stinks. No, I'm just want to help you out. And then they get offended. Get your mints out of here. You swallow or the whole packet because your breath stinks. You know, any of you been around people and like when you try to give them feedback and then they give you 10 times the feedback because they don't want the feedback? That's a sign of immaturity. And so part of maturing in Christ, part of walking in the new self is being able to give and receive feedback. And not feeling like you have to be emotional every time you get feedback. It's like, hey, I just want to help you out with this. And then you just burst into tears every time. Or you're that person, right? Hey, I just wanted to give you some feedback. You know, every time I try to give you feedback, you get angry. I'm not angry! Yeah, it's just every time I give you feedback, you raise your voice. I'm not raising my voice! Again, not you, but you might have a friend just trying to help you out, right? Secondly, talking about anger, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. This is going to help you out. Notice that the Bible says there, be angry. Anger in and of itself is not sin. But in your anger, do not sin. Anger is likened in many places in the Bible to fire. And when fire burns, it actually has a purpose. Fire is good for purification. Fire is good for heating up food. Can I get an amen from somebody who likes heated food? Right? Fire has its purposes. You know, for the 6 days of winter that we have here in Queensland, it's actually good for a fireplace. I have a fireplace in my house. Many of you have been over to my house and wondered what that obstacle is in the middle of my house. It's a fireplace. And it's there to burn for the 6 days of cold. Go figure, real estate. But fire is good. But when it's out of control, it causes damage, right? And this is the issue, right? When many of our cultures, we subdue anger. We think that it's not good to be angry. No, you use your anger to actually solve issues that God has put on your heart. For instance, if I'm angry towards injustice, I should be a vessel that God would use to stand up for the justice of those who can't stand themselves. That's a righteous anger. If I am against human trafficking and it angers me, that's a holy and righteous anger that I should do something about it. Where it becomes a fire is if I go in there and just I turn my fight for injustice into Taken 5, and I just go in there with a machine gun and shoot everybody. That's not righteous. That's not anger being used in a way that honors God. So it's using that anger in a controlled manner to bring about change in society, change within your household. You know, many of us should be angered towards the spirits that try to find themselves, their ways into our homes. And so when we see our children battling all sorts of thoughts, spirit of depression, spirit of lust, spirit of promiscuity, pornography, all of this stuff is trying to invade the minds of our young people. And we need to be angry towards those spirits. And God says here, be angry, because you should do everything you can to stop that sin coming in your home. That's where the anger should be. But in your anger, do not sin. And that's where anger should also be coupled with self-control, right? That you use the anger in a manner that honors God by bringing about righteous change. Because guess what? If you're never angry, you'll never change. Talk to any personal trainer in here, right? They'll tell you, you need to be angry at yourself and your state before you actually make change. And the anger needs to override that comfort zone. Because nothing great is done in the comfort zone. Okay, I'm preaching to myself right there. All right. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So that's the second aspect. 27 says this. Give no opportunity to the devil. Again, in your anger, protect and guard your household from the enemy. We should be the ones that say, you know what? No devil's going to come in my home, into my thoughts anymore. All my all my Every Nation Logan youth, don't expect it to just be us parents that do that for you. Try to stand up for righteousness on your own because you know that's the best life that God has for you, young people. Like, start to say, you know what? I'm not going to give any opportunity to the devil. Not on my watch. But too many of us just sit back. We're like, oh, you know, I feel sorry for the devil. He should, you know, he needs friends. No, he doesn't need you. He's not your friend. He wants to ruin your life. Verse 28, and let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Another mark of living out the life that God has called you to live is you do honest work, that you can be a blessing to others. Well, Pastor Nelly, didn't work come after the fall? No, it came before the fall. Like, Adam and Eve were the first botanists and the first zoologists, right? They were naming the animals, and they were put in charge to look after the land, to till the soil. It became toil after the sin. But actually, our work should be worship. We should worship God with our integrity and our excellence, being on time, doing excellent work. When your name is put against your work, they go, oh yeah, I can trust that brother, or I can trust that sister because they do great work. Is your work great? When they look at the quality of what you do, do you do it like what we say in Psalm 1, fai mea pepelo, which means to do things just out of, you know, pepelo literally means lies, right? Just to do things just to get them done. Or do you do them in a manner that honors God? You know, back when I was growing up, the things that we do, like the chores. I was the king of fai mea pepelo, which means, you know, like my mom was like, hey, go make your bed. And I'll just put the cover. Like, I didn't even put the sheets properly or anything. Just the cover. As long as the cover kind of covers my multitude of sins below the cover, then I'm good. My mom would just take one look. Fai mea pepelo. And I think sometimes, you know, as Christians, we just put the covers over the top, but there's a whole bunch of junk underneath. And God is saying, you know what? Do honest work. Do honest work. Be early to work and be the one that won't leave work until your work is done. Don't be that dude or that sister that is watching the clock, 4:59, I finish at 5. And then 5 p.m. you are in the car park. See ya! Okay, and then verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Again, the way that you can tell the difference between somebody who is living in accordance with the life that God has for them, the destiny that God has for them, is the way they talk. Do you build each other up? Do you build people up by the way you talk about them? Because a corrupting mouth will tear people down. And that may be other people that you know, or that may literally be people that you don't know, right? Whereas our talk should be life-giving, should be building people up. So corrupting talk tears people down. Prophetic talk builds people up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So asking ourselves, do we have any areas of bitterness in our heart that still exists there? Because that's going to affect the way that we live. And then lastly, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We started this time together by taking communion, being reminded of the forgiveness that God has extended to us. And in the same way, we should be forgiving to others. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Forgiveness does not mean that what was done to you is right, and that you need to understand it was right. No, many of us have been in terrible situations where we're actually finding it hard to forgive. And that's why we need to understand that it's only by God's grace that we can actually forgive other people. You can trust Him to give you the power to be able to do that. Forgiveness means to be able to release people from the prison of your heart so that they no longer have power over you anymore, so that you can walk in that freedom based on what's happened. There might be areas of bitterness that are in your heart because of things that have been done to you. And again, whether it's parental figures or people that have used and abused your life, or whether it's from leaders. You know what saddens me sometimes is that some of us have come from experiences where actual hurt from church experiences has been bad. And as a pastor, that hurts me too, that we're seeing people that are in churches that have been hurt by leadership. I'll endeavor however I can to help serve you. And I know that's part of the heart of the leadership here, part of Henry and Helen's heart towards you, is we want to help you. We don't want to hurt you. We want to help you to trust again, to trust God again. But it's learning to forgive so that you can move forward. Sometimes it feels like a horizontal bungee, right? Like you're making moves and strides, and then the moment you feel like you're getting breakthrough, it just pulls you back. And God wants to snip that cord and say, no, I want you to move forward. But it's going to require the capacity to forgive. You can't do it on your own. You need the power and the grace of God to help you forgive. And I want to pray for you today, because the question that I have for you for our time of reflection today is simple. Do we want to hold on to the old life, or do we want the new life up in here? You know, God said through his servant Joshua, he said, I place before you death and life. He said this to the people of Israel. And then God whispers in the ear of the Israelites, now choose life. Like he wants them to choose life, but he can't force you. He can force you, but then it wouldn't be worship if you were forced into it. In the same way as your pastor, I say by the Spirit of God, he places before you the old life and the new life. And he says, I'll give you a clue. The new life is actual life, because the old life leads to death. But it's going to be up to you. Will you choose today to follow wholeheartedly after the new life that God has for you, or will you hold on to the old life? Because guess what? You can't be like me in a suit with the pajamas underneath. You can't hold on to both. It's either you walk in the fullness of this new life, or you continue to walk in the old life. Pastor Nelly, I know I'm going to stuff it up. I know I'm going to make mistakes. Well, that's going to happen, but you know what? God's grace and his mercy are new every morning. And all you have to do, though the righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. And it's not to say that it's going to be perfect, but the new life starts with just putting our trust in God and saying, God, I trust this new life that you have for me. It's not based on me trying to perform so that I can earn this new life. It's a gift from God. And so I'm going to put my trust in you, Lord. And how many of us in this room would say, you know what, I want to put my trust in him. I want to live out this new life. So I'm going to invite us today just to bow our heads and close our eyes right where you're seated. And I want to ask you, because I want to pray for you today, if there's anybody in this room that recognizes that the old life has a hold of you, but you're wanting to be set free today to live out this new life. And if you're watching online, I want to pray for you as well. If that's you, just leave us a message in the chat, and or just throw your hand up on the chat, and we'll pray for you right now. But right now, right wherever you're seated, if that's you and you want to live out in this new life that God has for you, just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for today. So I'm going to pray for you as we leave behind our old lives. Father, you see these hands that are lifted in this place. God, whatever the old life is, Lord, we right now see it crucified with Christ. We cast it away. Lord, you call us to put off the old self. So Lord, as you're revealing aspects of our old self today, we want to cast them away. Cast our burdens before you, because you care for us. And Lord, we choose today with lifted hands to move out in the fullness of this new life that you have for us. Father, right now, we give our lives afresh to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have designed for us to live out in the beauty of the new self. The old is gone and the new is here. Whoever is in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. The old has gone. Thank you for this new life that we get to have in you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God praise in this place? Come on. If you're living this new life in Him, come on and give Him praise in this place.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.